Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. It is a Wednesday, and this comes together perfectly as training camp starts today, and we have our guy, Brandon Scott. You ready? Texans report, baby. It is the season has started. This is the first one of many as this thing is officially underway, baby.
Man, am I ready? I was out there before anybody, literally before the sun came up. Yeah. Couldn't even see me on camera. It was so dark out there, man. That's how early I was out there, man. Yeah, did me about 30 push-ups on the grass, just to touch grass. Not trying to impress no, but just to touch grass today. Yeah, man, I'm hyped. Let's go. Let's do it.
You did 30 push-ups?
30 push-ups between a break. Yep.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's about all I can give you at once. got a 30 in pause, 30 in pause. I'm a frail fella.
That's a decision there. Well, outside of your 30 push-ups, I know we've talked about it a little bit. Today, for you, what's your overall takeaway? Day one as they get this thing started. Obviously, there is some guys that we know pretty well, but there's some newness to this team as well, whether it be free agency, draft, coaching staff. What was your overall takeaway?
Yeah, obviously, I'm out there watching for Nick Chubb because I feel like that's the most interesting addition and not necessarily the best one. I think Christian Kirk is going to be more than likely on the offensive side of the ball, at least from what I'm looking at, a non-rookie. Most interesting addition that they're going to have. But, you know, the Nick Chubb signing late in the offseason is one that's caught my eye. But specific to today, y'all tell me what y'all think, man. It's the offensive line and the feeling that I had going in that they might have had it a little bit more figured out than it appears that they do. They're still figuring it out. Like the ending starting five offensive line that they had by the end of OTAs and minicamp was not necessarily the one that we saw to start today. So it seems like to me they're still figuring things out at center. I'd kind of penciled in Jake Andrews into that position because of his history with Cole Popovich and the fact that position was just unsettled to begin with. So it's not like anybody had the reins on it. Looks like he did, but then Jared Patterson's out there today. Same thing with the tackle position. Ariante Ursary out there at right tackle instead of Blake Fisher. That's probably the biggest question for me right now. Where is Blake Fisher in the whole grand scheme of things with the Texans offensive line as they try to figure things out? So that was one of the things that stood out, and obviously the wide receiver competition is going to be one to watch every day at camp.
Yeah, I'm with you on the O-line. I didn't expect the heavy rotation that we saw today because the first hour plus of practice, it was that mix you talked about at first, and then when they went team with the ones with CJ in the huddle at the very end, it was back to Blake Fisher at right tackle and Andrews at center. And so the rotation there, man, was real. I figured they had dwindled it down to maybe just a couple of spots. Like, I thought left guard was going to be Lakin Tomlinson. And I think it will be.
Yeah.
But I had decided that center was going to be Jake Andrews, at least for the foreseeable future. I thought that the left tackle position would be Cam Robinson for sure. And then you may have a battle on your hand at the right tackle spot, but hell, it looks like it's all over the map with all of them. I mean, Juice Scruggs, the first hour of practice today, didn't crack the two deep.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's in at left guard with the ones when they went team at the very end. So it is a real rotation. I told him, B. Scott, I think these are good games, if not games, but good approaches for coaches to take when you're dealing with a position group that has so many players starting, is the stay ready. To stay ready and don't let anything, you know, frazzle you whatsoever approach of, hey, Just have your ass ready. I'm not telling you who's ones and twos. I'm not telling you what reps you're getting. You make sure you go over this script and you know every damn rep, and I'm going to tell you when you're in.
Yeah.
It looks like literally it looked like that was the approach to O-line play. Well,
no, I was going to say it also feels like it's reflective of them not having necessarily a star or a stud on the offensive line. So what I'm saying is it's not like there's a great difference. We're trying to figure out who's the first string, who's the second string, who's starting, who's not. But it's not like there's going to be this great difference. At least we don't sense that. A great difference from the first guy to the second guy. And to your point, the next guy might have to step up. Aside from the fact that it's just football and somebody might get injured. But whether it's performance, injury, they want a different look. It's not like you can differentiate one guy from the next to a large degree, to a large deal, like a big talent gap between one guy that they got on the first team and the second team.
Yeah, they got to go about it the way they go about it. I hope that they have a better idea of what it is, and they are kind of doing what you're talking about, a real, like, competition test of, like, see how guys are going to handle things. But I hope that right now they have more than one spot penciled, or pinned. I hope they internally know more than one spot.
The interesting part to this conversation, and now is not the time in B. Scott's time, but the reality is like, I think in order for D'Amico to change the mindset of that room and the standard of that room, and somebody's got to lead.
Yeah.
And when Cam Robinson and Laken Tomlinson are your two guys that you would think would be the vets that could do that, and they're not penciled in a starter, I know it sounds kind of selfish and maybe even elementary, but it's hard to take over a room when you're fighting for a spot and you ain't that dude.
Yeah, but think about it. To the point I was just making, do we know that so Cam Robinson's been decent but hasn't been spectacular in his career. Do we know that there is a demonstrative difference between Cam Robinson and whatever Ariante Ursary ultimately is and could be for them? Do we know that there's a significant difference between, let's say, Laken Tomlinson and, I don't know, Juice Scruggs or Jared Patterson if he goes over to guard, or Ed Ingram or whatever it is? Like, you see what I'm saying? Every guy that I named to, you're like, yeah, could be the guy. Sure, why not? Like, it's just a bunch of dudes, which can be okay. I don't feel great about that. Let's be honest. Coming into the offseason, we thought that this was a huge need for them. And then what they end up with is just a bunch of dudes. And none of us feel like they got a clear-cut solution. But that does not mean that they can't have the right collection of dudes. Because a big issue with that unit was that they had either a bunch of solo artists or misguided folks out there not all on the same page and singing the same song. Yeah. So hopefully that's the difference between this year and last year.
Brandon Scott with this Texans report every single Wednesday here. Is there any point, two guys that jump out, that there should be any concern about Joe Mixon on the non-football list, non-injury list? And then now Christian Harris wasn't on any list, but we still didn't see him out there yesterday. When you look at those two, any should there be any level of concern or what's going on? Because we hadn't really seen either one of them on the practice field, OTAs or mandatory minicamp.
I feel like you can be concerned without getting panicked or without panicking, right? Like, so there's I think there's an appropriate level of concern with Joe Mixon. I mean, the injury that you mentioned, right? The whatever had him in a walking boot and the reason why he's not out there right now. Okay, on top of the fact that he's Joe Mixon and he's been running the ball now for 8 years, close to a decade in the NFL, you know? So, like, you're talking about miles, tread, wear and tear, and you know, it's an issue, especially given the fact that last year they didn't have anybody behind Joe Mixon that it seemed like they could believe in. So I think it's like a next logical question of, okay, how are they going to go about? Joe Mixon comes into the season, comes into training camp, comes into the offseason program, banged up. He's been probably overly used by them. Yeah. What are they going to do to manage Joe Mixon's workload? Is a drum that I've been beating pretty much the entire offseason, and I think it's going to be a question up until we actually get the answer in front of us. So, yeah, no, that's concerning. And then Christian Harris, I mean, come on now. Like, it's been now well over a year.
It was such a buzzkill when I heard, all right, he's not on any of the pub list or anything, and then we still didn't see him.
Yeah,
and I was hunting 48 down.
And I think they're probably just slow playing it, not wanting to, there could be some regret about how they handled him last year, and I don't know that for a fact, but clearly it did not work out last year the way that they hoped, wanted to, intended for it to work. So you like to think that they're just being cautious with him, but obviously it's an issue if it kept him out for a great deal of last year, limited his effectiveness when he came back after that, and now he can't even practice. Yeah, I'm concerned about it.
B. Scott, I don't know about you, but I looked out there today, and I used to. You look out there, and you're like, man, where's Joe? Damn, where's Joe Mixon, man? Damn, we can't get the prep we need. What's going on? What are we going to do with the running back position? It sure was, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it sure was, I'll be honest, refreshing to look out there and see Nick Chubb being the guy that is there in the absence of Joe Mixon. That speaks to the quality depth that they put together in the offseason.
Yeah, the Nick Chubb thing is the ultimate just what if, and until we get the answer, right, it's just the ultimate what if. He's out there, looks healthy. We don't know, and maybe a little bit further along in training camp, we'll get a better sense for how explosive he is or isn't at this point, or be able to try to compare it to what we feel like we've seen from him over the years. But we've been talking about it, man. If he is anywhere close to, 70%, 75% of what Nick Chubb used to be, then that's definitely a solid second back for you, and certainly somebody that could spell you or spell Joe Mixon if he's injured or if he's slow to recover. If he needs a break, needs a breather, or whatever the case may be. Going back to my earlier point about how you manage Joe Mixon, there's Nick Chubb, and hopefully healthy and ready to go. And it looks like he is. So we'll see, man. But it's the ultimate what if. I think it's one of the more fascinating storylines that you have in training camp. Because to me, if Nick Chubb isn't Nick Chubb anymore, then it's really no sweat off your back, and you're right back to square one where you were before. But if he is, the what if factor, that to me changes the dynamic of this team and what they're capable of, to your earlier point in the show about focusing on even more so now being a physical football team that emphasizes running the football. Well, now you can do that if you got a Nick Chubb that's right.
All right, that's B. Scott. You hear him all over the place, especially with us on Wednesdays, In the Loop on Tuesdays. And obviously, you can catch all of his work at Sports Radio 610.
Fridays now within the loop.
That's right. Yeah. I started to hear that.
Yeah, changed it to Fridays, man. It's a ghost town up here except for us. Except for us here in studio doing our thing.
Fridays, no longer Tuesdays. I got you there. All right, so that's B. Scott. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you updated on what's going on with the Astros.